Okay, we're starting here at the top of Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara until this point has discussed in the processes given in the Mishnah for generating Kiddushin, we had Kesef, Shtar, and Bio. So until this point, the Gemara, yesterday's Daf, dealt with Kesef and Bio. What the Gemara hasn't dealt with yet is Shtar. And that's what the beginning of today's Daf with is going to deal with Shtar. Gemara says, Uminayin Sha'af B'Shtar. How do you know that Kiddushin can be generated through a Shtar? It says, "V'dinu, it's a kal v'chomer. Uma kesef she'eno motzi kesef, which just does not work to generate a divorce, is sufficient to generate a kiddushin machnis shtar shemotzi, a shtar which is able to create a divorce. Eno din shemachnis, certainly it should work to generate kiddushin." So Gemara says, "Mala kesef she'kein podim bo hekdeshu ma'aser she'ni." Kesef has a unique aspect to it. The unique aspect of Kesef is that it's able to redeem Hekdesh and Maaser Sheni. If that's the case, maybe Kesef works for Kiddushin because of its expanded ability to function in other areas, like being redeeming Maaser Sheni and Hekdesh. Tomer v'shtar, so how can you equate that to a shtar? Shein podin bo Hekdesh and Maaser Sheni. That you can't use the shtar to redeem Hekdesh and Maaser Sheni. Dechtiv, because the pasuk says, v'natana Kesef v'kam lo. And when you pay the money to Hekdesh, then the field will come into your possession. That only through cash only will work, or coinage only will work for Hekdesh in order to have it be nifteh, in order to have it be redeemed, but not, and for Maaser Sheni to be redeemed, but not a shtar. So maybe that ability of Kesef to work in the context of Hekdesh and Maaser Sheni is what gives it the ability to work by Kiddushin, and maybe shtar should not work by Kiddushin. It says, Amakra v'yatza v'ayita. The pasuk says, when it regards to a divorce, it says v'yatza, this woman will leave the original marriage, v'hayita li'isha acher, and then she will join another marriage. So the juxtaposition of the dissolution of the first marriage and the creation of the second marriage of v'yatza, she leaves, and then v'hayita, she will be with the next marriage, make ish havaya l'tzia. The Gemara says the juxtaposition of these two, the dissolution of the first marriage and the creation of the second marriage, will create a hekesh, and that hekesh teaches us ma'itzia b'shtar, just like one can divorce through using a shtar, afavaya nami b'shtar, so too one can generate a marriage through shtar. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, ve'ekesh nami yitzia l'havaya. So why don't we look, that there's such a juxtaposition, it should be bidirectional. I mean, that if we can learn from Gerushin to Kiddushin, we should also be able to learn from Kiddushin to Gerushin. Mahavaya b'kesef, just like by Kiddushin, kesef works, which we established yesterday. Afyativis kesef, so too, kesef, money should work in order to generate a divorce. So, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Yomru kesef machnis, people will look and say money is able to generate a marriage. Kesef mosi, and money is also able to dissolve a marriage. Sanegor yasek etegor, the defense should become the accuser, meaning that, or the prosecutor. How could it be, if Kesef functions in the positive realm in generating a marriage, how can then Kesef be used in the negative realm to dissolve a marriage? It couldn't be. It can't function in both ways. It can't both be a creator of marriage and a dissolution of marriage. Someone says, well, ihachi, if that's the case, shtar nami. Then how come by shtar you don't have that same problem? Yomru shtar motzi, you're going to say that a shtar works to divorce, shtar machnis, and a shtar works to generate kiddushin. Kategor yases negor, the accuser will become, the prosecutor will become the defense, meaning that get, or the main area where get, or gerushin, where shtar is used, is for gerushin, for divorce. That's the prosecutor, the kategor. Now says negor, now all of a sudden it'll be used now as a, in a function to generate kiddushin. How could that be? Someone says, no, shtar is different. Why? Mili de hai shtar lochud, mili de hai shtar lochud. When it comes to a shtar, right, the essence of the shtar is not the paper itself, but the contents of the shtar. And the contents of the shtar are different. The contents of a shtar for kiddushin, say ariat mekudesh at libishtar zu in them, whereas the contents of a divorce document, say ariat muter at l'chol adam, that you are, right, you are free and clear, and that we have dissolved this marriage. So the contents of the shtar will define what the shtar or how the shtar is functioning. There is no such thing as a generic shtar. Somebody says, well, why don't you say the same thing over here? Akhanami, I kaspa l'chud, I kaspa l'chud. Right, the money's independent. You could use different money to marry and different money to divorce. Who says it's the same money that's used to marry as used to divorce? And even truthfully, if it is the actual same physical money over here that's used to marry and divorce, But generally, by kesef, we say that kesef and halva, the hotzah nitnu. It's the difference between borrowing something as an object and in borrowing money. I mean, the Hebrew definition, one is she'ilah. She'ilah is to borrow an object where there's an expectation that the object be returned. Halva'a is a loan, a monetary loan, where the assumption is that you will not return the exact money that was given to you, but rather you will return equivalent value to you. So, in general, money functions as an equivalent value, not as an absolute item. Nobody expects, even if you use the same kesef in a certain instance, that doesn't necessarily mean that that kesef is functioning, having two functions. But we say, so one over here we say, Hai kesef l'chud v'hai kesef l'chud. So the Gemara says, Tiva mi'achad hu, that the nature of money is that it's one. I mean, that money functions in a generic sense, money is just value. And that value works the same way everywhere. It doesn't matter that the coinage is different in each instance, right? That's what we were just explaining. It's not that the coinage, the fact that the coinage is different that makes it a different kiddushin or different gerushin, because coinage in general is not assumed to be a unique item. It's just saying value. There's this value and this value. So if you can create through value, you can create kiddushin, why can you create gerushin through value? I mean, that then it would be the same process that's functioning both to create kiddushin, create gerushin. As opposed to that by a shtar, the shtar doesn't function except for that which is written in it. There's no such thing as a generic shtar that does everything. A shtar is defined by what's written in it, and what's written in it tells you one's a divorce document, one is a kiddushin, a document of kiddushin. Now the Gemara continues and says, Rav Amar. Rav has a different solution to this problem. He says, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, V'kot of law, that you must write her a sefer kritut. V'ktiva mitgareshet, she'll be divorced through writing, through a get. V'em mitgareshet v'kesef, but she cannot be divorced through money. So V'ema, the Gemara says, well, why don't you learn this mute, this exclusion of v'kot of law, to read like this. Why don't you say that through writing she is divorced, but she cannot be married through writing? So haktiv, we have a pasuk that says vayitza vayita mekish, right? That we have the hekish between vayitza vayita, the hekish between kiddushin and gerushin, and that hekish teaches us that what the fact that a shtar works by gerushin also works by kiddushin. So when it says umaraito, Why do you use one over the other? What logical argument do you have to say that we should say that kesef does not work by gerushin? That's what's excluded. And what is included is a get that does, or a shtar, not a get, but a shtar that works for a kiddushin. Why don't you say the opposite way around? The pasuk excludes a shtar from being used for kiddushin. The hekesh tells you that kesef works both for kiddushin and gerushin. So when it says mistavra, it's a logical reason why. The kai begerushin. The pasuk, which is talking about bekot of law, is talking about gerushin, about divorce. Memayit gerushin, so it should exclude something similar to it, which is in gerushin. Therefore, if it's talking about that the only way to divorce is through a get gerushin, that which it excludes is money that is dealing with gerushin, excluding gerushin. Kai begerushin, but if you suggest the other way around, that what? That a cut of law comes to exclude that a shtar works by gerushin, but does not work by kiddushin. Kai begerushin, the pasuk is talking about gerushin, umayit kiddushin, it's excluding something that has to do with kiddushin, something in another realm. That we don't say. So because of that, the logical argument is, right, that what should we include? We should include shtar to work from the hekesh, work in kiddushin and in gerushin. And we should also, through logic, say that when the pasuk says the cut of law, that sefer kritut, that a get, is the unique way to divorce, that's a unique way to divorce, as opposed to kesef, which cannot be used for divorce. So now, Bai and Rover both came to solve the same problem, the same issue, which is, how do we know that by a shtar works by kiddushin? So we all know that we learn it, both of them agree that we learn it from Yatzav Ha'itah. There's a hekesh between a shtar that is used for gerushin and a shtar that can be used for kiddushin. Therefore, since shtar works by gerushin, it also works by kiddushin. That's the common neighbor between them. But then Bai and Rav have to deal with the other issue is, well, if that's the case, why doesn't kesef, why doesn't money work by gerushin? So Bai says the reason money doesn't work by gerushin is because money can't function to do both processes, can't act to be both a generator of marriage and a dissolver of marriage. On the other hand, shtar can, because shtar by definition is not doing two functions, because whatever's written in it is the function of the shtar. Rav says, no, the reason that you can't use kesef for divorce is because the pasuk says v'kot of law, that law, Kotov law Sefer Kritut, that Sefer Kritut is the only way, the unique way to get divorced, and money will not work to create a divorce. Now, according to Rabbi Yosef Galili, Rabbi Yosef Galili is found in the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, Rabbi Yosef Galili uses that because of a Kotov law Sefer Kritut that he learns to teach you that you may not write a get on a Baal Chaim, on a live animal, or on Ocha, on food. That is, he know that. He learns it from this. Obviously, I call the drasha achrina. He uses it for a different drasha. She'ena mitkaresha bekesef benali. According to Rava, where does Rabbi Yosef Galili know that you can't use money for a divorce? So Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Sefer Kritut. Right? So not only because of law, but it says Sefer Kritut. Sefer Korta, vein devar acher Korta. The Sefer, the get, is what creates the division, creates the dissolution of the marriage, and nothing else can sever their relationship. So that's what's unique. Get is the unique way to do this. So Verabbanon, and the Rabbanon use Vekot of Law to teach them that. Hi Kritut, my Avdile, what do they do with this Kritut? Vibayle, the Davar Koreit Beino Leveina. They needed to teach you that when you get a divorce, the relationship must be totally and completely severed. What does that mean? Kedetanya of a brisa. How is a gitecha menachlo tishte yayin? Right, this is your get on a condition you will not drink wine, implying that you will not drink wine for the rest of her life. Menachlo telchi lebet avich. Again, that you will not go to your father's house. Sounds like, again, for the rest of her life, she will not go to her father's house. Since these are tnaim, since these are conditions that will never expire, meaning that the conditions will outlive the woman or live till the point that the woman passes away, if that is the case, then there's always a relationship, there's always a relationship between the husband and the wife. I mean, their relationship is never completely severed. Why is the relationship never completely severed? Because there's always this tonight, there's always this condition, there's residual condition that leaves a relationship that the husband holds over the wife, that her get only be valid if she keeps this. So the olam ain't zekritut. This is not a complete and total severing of their relationship, and since it's not a complete and total severing of their relationship, that is not considered a good get. But if he says that what we are divorced on condition that you will not drink wine for the next 30 days, or you will not go to your father's house for the next 30 days, that is a valid get because there is a time limit to the Tanai, and there's a possibility that she will outlive the Tanai. If she outlives the Tanai, then there is a complete and total severing of the relationship because she can exist without the Tanai, and the get will be a valid get immediately. And then the get will be valid immediately, and she'll just have to keep, she'll have to keep the Tanai. So that is what they learn from the word kritut. Kritut means that you have to have a complete and total severing of the relationship, and that's what they learn from the word karit. Kritut or karit. Rabbi Yosef Galili. So where's Rabbi Yosef Galili? Where's he learned that limit from? He's going to learn it out. Mi karit kritut. Because the pasuk could have just said, say for karit, right? The fact that it used this more excessive or expansive lashon of kritut comes to teach just two things. One is safer korta, that only a safer works, only a get works to divorce. Plus, it also teaches you that when you divorce, you must have a total and complete severing of the relationship. But, karit kriyut karnafkale. The Rabbanan, what about the Rabbanan? Karit kriyut lo mashmalu. They don't think that karet kritut is meaningful. That excessive lashon is not something that they come to darshan. They think that we can only learn one thing out of that pasuk and not two things out of that pasuk. Just point out, Tosfos asks on beit avich, which is interesting. We just said, what's the definition of a divorce? A divorce is a complete and total severing of the relationship. And if there is any residual tnaim, any residual conditions in the get, then the get will be valid as long as those conditions are not, will not exist for the entire lifetime of the woman. I mean, that the fact that they could expire prior to her passing away means that she's not locked into this person for the rest of her life, and it will be a good get. Those asked about Beit Avich, that a person says, look, you may not go to your father's house for the rest of your life. Now, what is Beit Avich is only as long as her father's alive. If her father passes away, right, then there's no longer Beit Avich, so she could outlive the condition over here. Those says that Beit Avich doesn't necessarily mean while her father's alive, it's called her father's house. But her father's house is called her father's house even when his children or his grandchildren live in the house. Similar to what we saw in the end of Gittin about Hanichato and Hanichata. That for three generations, for a number of generations, that a family name or a patriarchal figure's name could be a part of the family. A person could be defined or could be named based on that person. So it's over here. The Beit Avich doesn't really mean when her father's there, it's called Beit Avich. Beit Avich can extend beyond the lifetime of her father, even to his children or his grandchildren. It'll still be called on his name. It's still called Beit Avich. And therefore, so it says that the Bayit, or this tonight, this condition will not expire before she passes away, or will outlive her in a sense, because the it'll be always be there, it'll always be with her, and therefore it's not considered a total and complete severing of the relationship. So now the Gemara says, okay, now we tried to learn out chada mechado, lo atyo. We tried to learn out kesef, shtar, and bia. We tried to learn out each one individually by itself. But that failed, and we needed a pasuk to teach us each one of them, or why kesef, shtar, and bia work for kiddushin. Tete chada mitateri. Why don't we try to learn out one from the other two? You have three of them. If we knew two of them, maybe we could know the third. So hi tete. So which one do you want to learn out? Or how do you want to do this? Lo lichtov rachmana bishtar. So let's say the pasuk didn't tell us that you needed, you could use a shtar for kiddushin. Tete minayach. And we'll learn that out from bia and kesef. Malahagnach. What? Just like bia and kesef. Shein hanatan miruba. Bia and kesef, all the benefit or value accrues to the recipient. You know, there's a benefit to both either from the bia or from the kesef to the receiver or to the recipient of the kiddushin. That is not true by a shtar. All a shtar says is a document that says that Hariyat Mekudesh, so there is no hana. So maybe that, the common ground of hana, is what allows for the kiddushin to be generated. But a shtar would not be able to be generated kiddushin. Mara says, alright, let's try something else. The Torah won't write bia, and it'll only write kesef. We only know kesef and shtar. And we'll learn it out of kesef and shtar. Malahanach by kesef and shtar, shuken kinyanan miruba. Kesef and shtar work or function as kinyanim in many other places. So since they are general kinyanim that work in many places, that's maybe why they work over here by kiddushin. But bia, which doesn't function as a kinyan anywhere else, maybe that can't function or can't work as a kiddushin in this instance. So that one says, alright, let's try the other way. Lo nechtav rachmana kesef. Maybe the Torah should not write down kesef, money. V'teite me'anach, and he'll learn it out from shtar and bia. Malahanach, so no, oh, there's a problem. Why? Because these two have a common denominator. What does that mean, that these two have a common denominator? Shtar and bia have a common denominator. Shekein yishlan bal korcha. That you have them against her will. Meaning that they can be generated as a situation or a process in which they are used where the recipient has no say in the matter. Bia is in the instance of yibum. A yabam, or that is being miyabem, his yivama, can, in order to acquire the woman, to have her be a full wife, has to perform yibum. Yibum is having bia with this woman, and this bia can be performed even against her will, and he acquires her, or she becomes a full-fledged wife, even if the bia is done, beones, or beshogeg, whatever way that the bia is done, it will generate the marriage. So you see that even against her will, you can generate a kinyan, right, through bia. Same thing with a shtar. A shtar works against the woman's will in the case of kritut, in case of divorce. So in the context of ishut, we find that a shtar works against the woman, can work as a function against the woman's will. Bia can function against the woman's will. If that's the case, right, that maybe the reason that they are able to generate kiddushin is because they have this elevated status that they're able to work even against the will of the woman. And that's what allows them to generate kesef. But kesef doesn't have that. One says, wait, kesef does have such a thing. V'chitem kesef nami bal korcha. We do have a case of kesef that can go be used against her will. What? Ba'ama ivriya. A father can sell his daughter to be a maidservant against her will. I mean, she has no choice in the matter. That can be done against her will. So we see that kesef does function bal korcha. So maybe that should work as a kiddushin. So Mar says, be'ishut mia lo ashkecha. And when it comes to ishut, we don't find it. I mean, in the context of marriage and divorce, we don't find that kesef can function. Kesef can function as against the will of the woman. By shtar and bia, they can function against the will of a woman. Since they can function against the will of the woman, therefore they can generate kiddushin. But that will not be true of kesef. Because kesef, even though we have an instance where it works against the will of the woman, but it's not in the context of ishut. And therefore it won't work, and therefore we need the pasuk to write us kesef. So we need kesef, shtar, and bia all to be written down, because we don't have the ability to learn out either one, each one of them individually, or each one of them from more than one or from two of them. Now, the Tosfos asks the question, well, is it really true by Yama Ivriya that it's not in the context of Ishut? Because we know, Tosfos says, we know that when an Adon purchases a Ktano to be a Yama Ivriya, he has the ability to either marry that woman, Yehud, it's called Yehud, designate her to be his wife, or to marry her off to his son, and use the money that he purchased the Yama Ivriya with to become the Kesef Kiddushin. So we see that what? An Yama Ivriya can end up being married, meaning that this could function, this purchase could function as Kiddushin in Baal Korcha. So why don't you say, there is Kesef working Baal Korcha in the context of Ishut. So it says, no, truthfully, it's not Baal Korcha here, because who is the recipient of the Kiddushin or the Kesef Kiddushin in this instance? The recipient of the money is the father, and the father can marry off his daughter against her will, but not against his will. I mean, he gets to determine who the daughter is married off to, or who he sells her to, or which adonai gives her to that could possibly generate this marriage. So since the father, who's acting on behalf of the daughter, because she's a katana, and that since he, it can't be done Baal Korcho, can't be done against his will, therefore there is no Baal Korcha here. I mean, there's no Baal Korcha in the context of Ishut, because the Ishut that's generated here is done willingly, it's done by the will of the father, who's the recipient of the Kiddushin over here. Alright, now, I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna we saw earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara says, why is there a minyona in the Mishnah? Why is there an enumeration of cases of ways you can do Kiddushin in the Mishnah of three? Gemara said over there, because to exclude Chuppah, that Chuppah doesn't work for Kiddushin. Then the Gemara over there said, well, according to Rav Huna says that Chuppah can work for Kiddushin. What does he exclude from the Mishnah saying three and not others? He says three and not Chalipin. So this Rav Huna that says that Chuppah works by Kiddushin, the Gemara is going to discuss right now. This Rav Huna, how does he know that Chuppah works by Kiddushin? So I'm Rav Huna. Funa says, Chupa kona mi kal v'chomer. Chupa should work to acquire from a kal v'chomer. Uma kesef shein umachil b'truma. Kesef, when a woman is married to a kohen, she is entitled to eat truma. When does she become entitled to eat truma? So, the Gemara's assumption now is that only at the time of nisuin, at the time that she gets married. I mean, there will be kiddushin or erusin. At the point of kiddushin or erusin, even though the woman now is partially married to this Kohen, she will not be entitled to eat Truma. When does she able to eat Truma? Only after Nisuin. After Nisuin, that's generated by the Chuppah. So that's what the Gemara says here. Uma Kesef Shein Umachil Truma. Kesef, which generates Kiddushin, does not entitle her to eat Truma. Kona, nevertheless, it works to generate Kiddushin. Chuppah, that if you came and bring, if you have Chuppah, when she has Nisuin, right, Shema Chelet B'Truma. Once she has Nisuin, she can eat Truma. She's a full-fledged wife of the Kohen. That entitles her to eat Truma. Inu Din Shetikna. Right, isn't it certain that certainly it should work to create Kiddushin? If Chuppah can give the woman the ability to eat Truma, it certainly should be able to create Kiddushin. Just like money, which can create Kiddushin, is unable to allow her to eat Truma. Then here you have something that's even stronger, Kinyan, that allows her to eat Truma, certainly should be able to generate Kiddushin. So Gemara says, challenges the underlying assumption of the Kal v'chomer. First of all, the Kesef Eino Machil. Is it really true that Kiddushin or Kesef Kiddushin doesn't entitle the woman to eat Truma? V'amar Ula, it says, Dvar Torah Rusa Bat Yisrael Ochelet B'Truma, that generally a woman who has Kiddushin erusin with a Kohen is entitled to eat Truma. Sh'nemar v'Kohen Ki Yikneh Kesef Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo. That if there is a Kinyan Kesef here, a Kinyan Kesef entitles whoever the Kohen has a Kinyan Kesef with, entitles that person to eat Truma. So that would be true of Avadim, the Behema, and the woman, who are all connected to the Kohen through a Kinyan, all of them would be entitled to eat Truma. So that means Kiddushin Erusin will entitle this woman to eat Truma. By Kinyan Kaspo, this woman is a Kinyan Kesefu. So Ma Tam Amru Eino Echelet, what's the reason that the woman may not eat Truma? If Kiddushin Erusin allow her to eat Truma, why did the Rabbanan say she may not eat until the time of Nisuin? So our Gemara is going to give one reason over here. The Gemara in other places offers the alternative reason of, in the Gemara in Ketubot, in other places mentioned, Simpon, the possibility that he will find something wrong with the woman. If he finds something wrong with the woman, then the Kiddushin will be a Mekach Ta'ut. It will be a sale that was invalidated. If the sale or a transaction or a connection that was invalidated, that's the case. The woman would be eating Truma even though she was not married to the Kohen. So in order to avoid that, we say don't eat until Nisuin. Well, why don't we say the same thing? Maybe after Nisuin, he'll find something wrong with her, and it'll be Kiddushin the Mafreya will be Ne'akar. So the Gemara says over there that Nisuin, once you reach the point of Nisuin, when the Baal is Boel, the Bia, the Ava of the Bia will have him overlook or acquiesce to anything that the woman brings into the marriage. That once you reach that point in the marriage, then if he has Nisuin, or if he creates Nisuin with her, then there's no longer this issue of Mekach Ta'ut, because he's accepted, or will accept everything that the woman has to offer into the marriage. The other possibility, which is what the Gemara says here, what's the problem? Because where is the woman? Back in the time of the Gemara, again, Kiddushin and Nisuin were separated by about 12 months. Since they were separated by 12 months, the woman after Kiddushin, where does she live? She lived by her father's house until the husband took her into the chuppah, took her into his house after the 12-month period of Nisuin. So while she's in her father's house, if she's entitled to eat Truma, what's going to happen? She's going to eat Truma. She's the only one in the household that's allowed to eat truma because she's now engaged as kedushin with a kohen. And what's going to happen? They're going to pour it because Eresh Shem Mazgula Kos Bebet Aviyah. She's going to be drinking in her house or eating in her father's house, eating truma or drinking truma. But there's going to be lachiyol achuta, and she's going to share it with her brothers and her sisters, or they're going to take her leftovers. Meaning that there's a high chance of someone who's not entitled to truma eating truma because this woman is eating truma in a place where otherwise no one else is entitled to eat truma. So because of that, the Chachamim say, wait until you're nisuin into the house of the Kohen, who also eats truma. When you're in the house of the Kohen, then you'll eat truma. But when you're not in the house of the Kohen, don't eat truma. But either way, the reason that, if that's the case, then Mina Torah, Erisin, does generate Achilat Truma, and this Kal V'Chomer that we had before is not a good Kal V'Chomer. So when it says, Ela Pari Chalchi, this is the Kal V'Chomer of Rav Huna. Uma Kesef She'enu Gomer Koneh, Kesef, meaning Kiddushin, that creates a partial marriage. It does not complete the marriage. It changes the status of the woman regarding some things. Nevertheless, it works to generate a Kiddushin. Chupa She'gomeret. Chupa, which is Nisuin, which completes the marriage, meaning it takes the one fully into this new realm, then certainly, certainly it should work to generate Kiddushin. I mean, if it functions in Nisuin, which is a much more advanced form of marriage, then it certainly should function in the lower form of marriage or the beginning parts of marriage, which is Kiddushin. So Gemara says, well, how can you compare this? Mala Kesef came podim bo hekdesh shoto ma'aser sheni. Kesef has a chumra associated with it, or has an ability to redeem hekdesh and ma'aser sheni, and because of that ability, maybe that enhanced ability was why it works by Kiddushin. By Chupa won't work because it doesn't have that enhanced ability. Gemara says, Bia tochiach. Well, we learn that from Bia. Mala Bia, Shekain Kohen Yevama. By Bia, we know that Bia can work to acquire Yevama. Nothing else works. So maybe the reason Bia works for Kiddushin is because it's its enhanced ability by Yevama, to acquire by Yevama. Therefore, it works by Kiddushin itself. So then Gemara says, Kesef Yochiach. So in general, this type of limud comes up in the Gemara here, and Kiddushin comes up in Baba Kama a lot. This type of limud says that, well, if I want to learn out from an individual item, that item itself might have some enhanced qualities which say to me that the reason that this item or this process works is because of its enhanced abilities. But if I take two properties or two processes that work, and each one of them does not have the same enhanced ability, then I cannot make the claim that this enhanced ability is what's making the item function or the process function. So in our instance over here, Kesef works for Kiddushin. I would think the reason maybe Kesef works is because it has an enhanced ability to be Poda Hekdesh and Meister Sheni. That's why it works by Kiddushin. But then I can look at Bia. Bia also works for Kiddushin, and Bia does not have that enhanced ability by Hekdesh and Meister Sheni, and yet it still works. Well, you'll say to me, wait, Bia works because it has an enhanced ability that it's able to acquire a Yivama function. It works to have a marriage or finalize a marriage by a Yivama. So maybe that's why it works by Kiddushin. Well, if that's the case, I can look at Kesef. Money doesn't have that enhanced quality of Yivama, nevertheless it works. So what do we say now? We say, V'chazer Adin, that we'll look at the common denominator between them. What's the common denominator between Kesef and Bia? There's a Soda Shavashban. The common denominator is that, I'm sorry, I skipped the line here, Lo Rizek, Lo Rizet. Each enhanced ability is not like the other enhanced ability. Bia is not like Kesef, and Kesef is not like Bia. And the common denominator between them is Shekonim Ba'alma, that they function to work in Kinyanim and other places, Vekonim Kan, and they also function by Kiddushin. Afani V'Chupa. Just like Chupa functions, Shekonim Ba'alma works in other places, meaning in Chupa and Nisuin, Vekonim Kan, it should work also function over here in Kiddushin. Right, says, no, Mala Tzad HaShavash Ben. There is a common denominator between Bia and Kesef, which is Kein HaNatan Miruba. There's a lot of benefit that accrues to the recipient in these instances, but that's not necessarily true of Chupa. So Gemara says, Shtar Yochiach. Shtar can prove that. Why Shtar prove that? Mala Shtar Shekein Motzi Bevat Yisrael. Right? Shtar will prove that what? Shtar doesn't have any anon, yet it still works for Kiddushin. So that can't be the quality that allows these items to be create Kiddushin. Gemara says, wait, Shtar also has an enhanced quality. Mashakar Shtar Shekein Motzi Bevat Yisrael. It functions in divorce, which other things can't. So the Gemara says, Kesef Bia Yochichu. Right? Kesef and Bia will show you that that enhanced quality of divorce is not what allows it to generate a marriage, because Kesef and Bia don't work in divorce, and yet they still work in Kiddushin. Bechazer Adin, again, it'll go back. Velo Reizek Reizek, Velo Reizek Reizek. Each of the enhanced qualities of each of these items of Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Kesef has an enhanced quality that it works by Hekdesh and Meisah Sheni. Bia has an enhanced quality that it works by Yevama. Shtar has an enhanced ability that it works for divorce. But none of these enhanced qualities are similar or equal. And if that's the case, what's the common denominator? What's the common denominator? Konin ba'alma, they function as a kinyan in another place, or they function in a different place. Konin kan. So they work by kiddushin. Afani avi chupa, so to chupa. Konin ba'alma works in general, works by nisuin to generate a kinyan. Konin kan, it should work also over here. Mara says, no, they have a common ground, these three irons. Ma'ad tzara shabashan, shkain yesh, done ba'al korcha. That all of these can be done ba'al korcha. All of these items, kesef, shtar, and bia, function in a certain place against the will of the individual. We know that. What? By shtar, it works against the will, because when a woman is divorced, she can be divorced against her will. So then a get works even against the will of the woman. Bia works by yivama. We said that even if the yibum or the bia is done against her will, the yibum is created. So it can be done against her will. And where is kesef done against her will? That's by amaha ivriya, that she can be sold in against her will. So we see that all of them have this common denominator of against her will, which we don't have by chupa. Chupa can't be done against the will of a woman, so maybe that's why it won't work by kiddushin. So Rav Huna says, no, Rav Huna kesef miya be'isha dorsh kachan ba'al korcha, like we said above, that the ba'al korcha of kesef is not in the context of marriage or divorce. It's in a different area of amaha ivriya. Since in the context of amaha ivriya, right, then it's not relevant. It's not a common denominator that between these three items. If it's not a common denominator or a chumrah between these three items, that may not be, right, that may be, that's not the reason that they work by kiddushin, and therefore, chuppah should also work by kiddushin. So Amar Rava, shtei tshuvot b'tavar, I have two challenges to the position of Huna that chuppah should work by kiddushin. Chada, one is, the shlosh tanan, our Mishnah says three, Vidala Lotnan, and it does not say four. It says three things work and four don't, and there is no fourth item. According to Rav Huna, there is a fourth item, it should be chuppah, so the Mishnah should have mentioned four and not three. Vod, and an additional item, klum chuppah gomeret, eliyadei kiddushin. How can you compare chuppah, when this is a question that came up from the beginning, is that the only reason chuppah works is because it follows, it's subsequent to a kiddushin. I mean, chuppah just builds on, that generates a nisuin by building on the kiddushin that exists. So what are you trying over here? V'chi gamrin chuppah shlo yadi kiddushin. You're trying to learn out chuppah, that chuppah here should function without kiddushin, mi'chuppah shlo yadi kiddushin, from a chuppah that works with kiddushin. Maybe the only reason chuppah works for nisuin is because it had kiddushin preceding it. But chuppah by itself would not be able to do anything, or would not be able to generate kiddushin. So Amar Abaye defends the position of Rav Huna and answers both of Rava's questions. Hada kamar gimel tanan, that you said the Mishnah says three, v'dalad lo tanan, doesn't say four. Tana milsa d'ktiva b'etcha, the Mishnah wrote things that are explicit in the Torah. Explicit means either explicit because they're written there, or explicit through a hekesh or a limut, right? But tani, therefore they were written in the Mishnah. Milsa d'lo ktiva b'etcha, something that's not written explicitly in the Torah, which is chuppah, lo ktani, that he didn't address, he didn't deal with. That's the first answer to your question. Why we mentioned three and not four in the Mishnah? And you said what? The only reason that chuppah works is because it's subsequent to a kiddushin. That's exactly what Rav Huna means. Ma kesef sheino gomer achar kesef. If you had kesef generate kiddushin, and then you want to create nisuin through kesef, kesef will not work to do it. Kone chuppah she gomer achar kesef. Chuppah that works to generate a nisuin after a kesef kiddushin, eino dinu shetikne. Certainly it should work. I mean, the chuppah should function to do both. You have a chuppah that does kiddushin and the chuppah that does nisuin. I mean, that just like kesef can only work to do kiddushin but is unable to generate after that nisuin. So over here too, the possibility would be what? Chuppah, which does have the ability to work after kiddushin, should also work to generate kiddushin, and that the chuppah will function in both, for both processes, both issues, which is both the kiddushin and the nisuin. Okay, that's the position of Rav Huna now. Now the Gemara is going to go back and address how we've now learned what are the processes by which one can get married, kesef, shtar, and bia. Now the Gemara is going to ask, how does it work by kesef? Tan Rabbanan, ketzed b'kesef. How does one get married through monetary means? What does it mean by kesef? So natan la kesef, o shava kesef. He gave her money or equivalent value. V'amar la, he says, der hariat mikudeshet li, you are married to me. Hariat mureset li, you are mureset to me. Hariat li in two, you are my wife. That's the way that kiddushin should be done. The husband gives the money, and he says this lashon, or he gives shava kesef, and he says this lashon. That is proper kiddushin. Aval, but he shenit na. If she gave money, v'amrahi, and she said the formula that to create the kiddushin, like for instance, what? She gave the money to the husband and says to him, hareini mikudeshet lach, I am mikudeshet to you. Hareini mureset lach, I am married to you. Hareini lechali into, I am your wife now. Eina mikudesh. In that case, it doesn't work. Matkele Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked, Taima de Natan hu, Vamar hu. The reason that it's a good Kedushin is because he gave the money, and he's the one who also said that it's Hari Atma Kedesh Ali. He made the statement that generated the Kedushin. Hanat, you can infer from that, Hanat and who, if he gave the money, Vamrahi, and she said the formula that for Kedushin, then Eina Mekudesh, it does not work if it comes from her. Right, so Eima Seifa, now what are you going to do with the Seifa? Aval Hishnit Na Lo, Vamrahi, if she gave the money and she spoke up, Lovi Kedushin, Taima, that sounds like that, you can infer, did not Nahi. The problem here is that she gave the money, Vamrahi, and she also spoke. Hanatan who, had he given the money, Vamrahi, and she had spoken, Avi Kedushin. So the diuk from the Reish and the Seifa, right, are contradictory. Because the Reish, the Bryce only brought basically extreme cases. The case where it's perfect, where he gave, and he said, and the imperfect case, or the case where it won't work at all, which is the case where she gave and she gives, but it doesn't deal with the in-between cases. So when it says, no, Reisha Dafka, the Reisha is Dafka, and you can make the inference from the Reisha, Seifa Kedei Naspa, and he brought down the Seifa, just kind of threw it in. Where it says, Vatana Seifa Milsa Desatala the Reisha. Okay, it's one thing if you say the Tana threw some extra stuff in, so we learn a little more, that's fine. But he throws in extra stuff that actually goes against, right, almost undermines the limit of the Reisha. Why would he just throw something in like that? That doesn't make so much sense. Elohachi Kamar. This is why you have to learn it. Natan hu vamarhu, if he gave the money and he spoke and said, Ari Mekdesh Ali, Pshita Dava Kedushin. Everybody, that's simple. Everybody knows that's Kedushin. Natan hu vamarhi, if he gave and she spoke, Nas, it's the equivalent commission, not Nahi vamarhi. It's the equivalent of her giving and her speaking, and it's Velohavi Kedushin. It's not Kedushin at all. And that's how to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah has this in-between case, and this in-between case is being compared to the case of where she does everything, because in that case it's clearly Psula, it's clearly not Kiddushin. There's some that say, Natan hu, v'amar hu, mikudeshet. If he speaks and he gives, then it's a good Kiddushin. Natan hu, v'amrahi, if she gives the money and she speaks, and mikudeshet. Natan hu, v'amrahi, if he gave the money, v'amrahi, and she spoke up, sveikahi, that is a safek, v'chayshinim interabonim, we're choshish v'kiddushin here, and she'll have to get a gift from this individual to marry someone else, or do a second Kiddushin if he's going to stay married to this individual. So it means that the case of Natan hu, v'amrahi, is really in limbo. It's a limbo state case, we don't know what it is. And that's why the Bryce only dealt with the certain cases. The case is a certainty. This case is an uncertain case, and therefore it didn't address it. And that's why the inference from the Reish and the Seifa actually come to opposite conclusions, because that is exactly the suffix. Now, the Rishonim here point out that the Gemara only dealt with one of the two possibilities in the middle of in-between cases. They dealt with the case where he gave the money, not on who, vihi amra, and she spoke up. What about the other case where she gave the money and he speaks up, and vamar hu, and he speaks up? Maybe it should work in that case. So Tosfos over here says, well, truthfully, the Gemara could have addressed that issue, but the reason the Gemara doesn't address this issue is because of a case later on in the Gemara. There's a case later on in the Gemara where giving is actually receiving. So for instance, if someone goes to the rabbi and they buy them, or in Yonah Doma, buy him an esrog, a beautiful esrog, and then the rabbi accepts that esrog as a gift from him, and he uses it during Sukkot. This person who bought the esrog for the rub is going to feel good, he's going to feel, get a tremendous kishmak out of the fact that the rabbi accepted his gift. So there is a hanoah, even sometimes when you're giving, there is hanoah generated. So that's what Tosfos says over here. Since it's milfit lo psika, it will not clear it. Not in all instances where she gives and the husband speaks, is it not valid kiddushin? Why? Because there are instances where her giving is actually receiving. And that's what the Gemara talks about, Adam Choshev, later on, where she gives money to Adam Choshev, and the fact that he accepts the money from her gives her a sense of anoa, and that sense of anoa is what she's going to get married with. So Dozo says, since it's not milta psika, it's not so clear. When she gives it, it's not absolute that it won't work, because sometimes it does work. Therefore, the Gemara or the Mishnah, the Brisa, didn't deal with it. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rashba are chulik on this position of the Tosfos, and they believe, and the Tosfos Riazokin actually brings it down here, he says they believe that the reason that the case of Nat Nahi, Valmar Huari Mekadesh Lilo Huskar Gemara, Bibir, Vade Lahim Mekadesh Klau, because it doesn't work at all. To be Inun Shikach, Vitain Kesef, because there's a requirement that the husband gives Kesef. That Vayikach is an absolute. That fact that he is going to give the Kesef to the woman, that part of it is absolute, and therefore the Gemara had no question. If he didn't give the money, it doesn't work. The only question came up was when he did give the money, and she spoke up, and that's where we came up with this suffix over here. Now, last thing we deal with is Shmuel. This is a Gemara that we saw in Nazir before, that about Yadayim She'enan Mochichot. Amar Shmuel, right? Shmuel says, Bikidushin. How do you generate Kiddushin? Not on La Kesef, Ishava Kesef. He gives money and or equivalent value. Varmalani says, Hariyat Mekudeshet, but leaves out the word Li. Hariat Miureset, you are married, you are Miuras, Hariat Lin too, you are a wife. Harizu Mikudeshit, it works. Areni Sheikh, but if he says, if the husband says, I'm now your right husband, I'm now Areni Balich, Areni Arusich, mean that he presents himself to be now married to this woman, Ein Kan Beit Michush. There is no Kiddushin here, there's not even a remote function of Kiddushin here. V'chaim B'girushin, same thing by divorce. Not on love, Amar Law, he hands her the get and says, Hariyat Mishalechet, you are gone. Hariyat Migureshet, you're sent away. Hariyat Muter Dachlodam, you're free and clear now. Hariyat Migureshet, that works as a proper divorce. On Eini Sheikh, if the husband, the husband removes himself from the marriage. He says, I'm no longer your husband. Any baleich, any arusich, ain't come being michush. There is no divorce here. There is no get here. And that's so much not a get that she's not even possible for marrying a kohen. Meaning if her husband passed away later on, she may marry a kohen. Because this is not even a reach a get here. So Rapapa says to Abai, the member of the Sover Shmuel, Yadayim Shenim Omichot, Havin Yadayim. From this that you can conclude that Shmuel holds that Yadayim Sheni Mechot Hav Yadayim. What's Yadayim Sheni Mechot? Where someone makes a statement, and the statement can be interpreted in multiple ways. Do we look at the context to tell us what the statement means? Since the statement can be interpreted in multiple ways or in different ways, do we say the context tells us what it means? Or when a person speaks, they must say exactly what they mean. So in our case over here, for instance, if he says, gives the case of the issue, he says, Ariat Miku Deshet Li, you are married to me with this, right, this money, meaning he's saying this money is what's generating the Kiddushin. But if he just says, Ariat Mekudeshet, right, and not to Li, is that, it's not clear here. When he gives her the money, when he says, Ariat Mekudeshet, you are married, what does that mean? Are you married to me? Is it referencing the money that he's giving to her now? It's not clear. He's not being defined. Same thing with the get, right? He hands her a document of divorce and says, Ariat Mishalechet, you're sent away. Does that mean, right, if he says, Ariat Mishalechet Mi Meni, or Im Getzeh, with this document you are sent away or divorced, it's clear that this document is working as the divorce document or that he's sending away from her. But if he just says, Ariat Mishalechet, you're sent away, it might be, you know, here's a document, and you go take a hike. And the two may not be related, so we don't know. So that's what's called Yadayim Sheinim Mechot. We have a statement, but through the context it's clear what it is, but not necessarily from the statement that's made. So over here it seems that Shmuel believes Yadayim Sheinim Mechot, we have a statement that's unclear here, Ariat Mekudeshet, or Ariat Mishalechet, and yet he says they work well as a divorce as a condition. Vatnan, we have a Mishnah in Nazir Omer, hey, I will be. Hari Zeh Nazir, a person says I will be, means that he will be a Nazir. The Gemara says, Ravinim Ba, and we asked on this, Vidilma, hey, Betanit Kamar, maybe I will be means I will be fasting tomorrow. What, how do you know that I will be means I will be a Nazir? Shmuel says, the only time that the hey, I will be works is if there's a Nazir walking right in front of him. Because there's a Nazir passing in front of him and he says, hey, I will be, means it's clear that he's saying I will be like this Nazir. And since he says, I will be like this Nazir, timer the Nazir over the front of. That's only because there's a Nazir walking in front of him. Halavachi, had there not been a Nazir walking in front of him, lo, it wouldn't have worked. So that's the case we see from Shmuel that Yadayim Sheni Mechot, Einam Yadayim. If he just says, hey, that has no meaning. It must be that the Nazir is walking in front of him, so we know exactly what the hey is referencing. So Mar says, Alkamai Skin, in our case over here, in Kiddushin is Dalmar Li. They actually said, Hariyat Mekudeshet Li. So Mar says, Yachim, I Kamashmalan. And what's Shmuel teaching us? We have that explicitly in the Brisa or in our Mishnah. It says, Hariyat Mekudeshet Li, it works. Why do I need Shmuel to tell me that it works? So Mar says, no, Hai Lishne by Tri Kamashmalan. You're true. In the Risha, what works, he's not coming to teach us. He's not coming to teach us what doesn't work. Right? Kamashmalan. What? What is he going to teach us? Achuktiv, ki kach, veloshi kach, that's mo. Right? That he must take the woman, and not li kach, that's mo. Not that he takes himself. Meaning that he must have Kiddushin. He must take the woman through Kiddushin. And not that he says that I belong to you now. Achuktiv, and also by divorce, it says vishulcha, veloshi shlach, et mo. Right? That he should, he has to send her away, and not that he removes himself and saying that I'm no longer your husband. So that's what we say over here, that the Chiddush of Shmuel is not the Mekudesh at Li, because he requires Yadayim Shemo Chichot, so he must say, Hariyat Mekudesh at Li, Hariyat Meres at Li. So the Chiddush is in the latter half of the Brisa, or the second half of each piece of the divorce and the Kiddushin, to teach you that the only way Kiddushin works is if he takes the woman for himself, not if he offers himself to the woman. And also, when he divorces the woman, it's not that he must send away the woman, he cannot send himself away.